In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we'll continue. Volume 2, 10, 21, 1999, 1899. Lord, you know how much it costs me to be without you. Here is this. We understand that when Louisa did not see Jesus Christ, she thought she was dead. She felt dead. She couldn't move. She had no life. Her heart wasn't beating. And that's why she says, you know how much it costs me to be without you. But I resign myself to your most holy will. So here she says, I give my fiat. She's showing us how we are supposed to be in all that we go through. Offering this most bitter pain as a means to attest my love and to placate you. These bothers, these annoyances, this weariness, this coldness that I feel, I intend to send you as messengers of praise. So what does that mean? All that you're going through, your suffering, your worry, all of your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, you're saying, I'm not going to give life to it, but I send it to you as praise. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And I feel, she says, I intend to send you as messengers of praises, see, and of reparations for myself and for all creatures. This I have, this I offer you. This is what I have, my sufferings. I offer it to you, Lord. I saw my dearest Jesus so suffering, offended and indignant with the people as to strike terror. So here she sees Jesus crucified again. Immediately, I began to say to him, oh, Lord, I offer you your wounds, your blood, your most holy use. You make use of your senses during the course of your mortal life to repair, to redo for the offenses and for the bad use the creatures make use of their senses. See, the senses, Jesus says to Louisa in Vine 36, your senses were made for God. You're to see God and to hear God and to smell God and to taste God and to touch God. That's why he gave us our senses. In the image and likeness of God, to recognize our God. And as Catholics, we see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We see God. When we receive Holy Communion, we taste God. When we smell the incense of the prayer offerings, we smell the odor of sanctity. When we hear the gospel being proclaimed, we hear God speaking to us. I love to put myself in front of for the epistle of Saint Paul. I love to put myself right in front of Paul, listening to him speak to me. I want to be there when he's proclaiming the gospel, when he was proclaiming the epistle. I'd love to be there with the evangelist to listen to Jesus as he's speaking. See, you can be there. You can be right there with Jesus Christ. There's no time or space in the divine will to listen to Jesus speak to you when he's proclaiming the gospel. Your ears can become attuned. When you begin to read the gospel of the kingdom, or the book of heaven, as you begin to read it, you're beginning to hear Jesus. You're listening to him. And that's what she's saying. She says this is what she wants. And for the bad use of creatures making of their senses, we want to see God. We want to hear God. We want to smell God. We want to taste God. We want to touch God. Volume 2, 10, 28, 99. When the soul begins to look into herself at the evil she has done. Okay, this is guilt. God shows us guilt. He shows us our lives. What we have thought, what we have said, what we have done. How we have offended God, how we have offended others. This guilt, when the soul begins to look at herself at the evil she has done, she prepares a bath for my wounds. Jesus says, you're getting ready. I'm going to change this guilt into a greater sorrow. And again, therefore we can fall on our knees and say to the Lord, you know, I am sorry for what I have thought, what I have said, what I have done. I'm sorry. I love you, Jesus. Please forgive me for all my offenses. She prepares a bath for my wounds. In seeing her evil, she receives bitterness and feels a greater sorrow for your sins. When we committed to the sins, there was no sorrow. As time went on, we go, oh my goodness, this is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. All of a sudden, that guilt turns into a greater sorrow. And by it, by the sorrow comes to anoint my wounds with the most exquisite balm. See here, it's soothing God's life. And that's what Jesus says. when I ran out of holy oil, I said, what did Jesus tell Louisa? And on her birthday, 1900, April 23rd, 1900, it was volume 3. Jesus says, oil will come from you, Louisa, to soothe the wounds of Jesus. So all of a sudden I went, this holy oil that will soothe the wounds of Jesus comes from Louisa. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Then in volume 13, Jesus says, the little children of the holy divine will, this is what he says, will be the soothing of my church. It will bring healing to the church. So why does Jesus want us to know about this? Is as we become one with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, it's a new beginning for Christ and his church. This is what you have to understand. It's so beautiful. So in seeing her evil, she receives the bitterness and feels the sorry for it. And with it, this, she comes to anoint my wounds with the most exquisite oil. And from this knowledge, the soul would want to make reparation. And in seeing her past and gratitude, how evil we were, she feels love arise within her towards a God that's so good. And she would want to lay down her life to attest her love. And this is the hair that, like many golden strands, binds her to my love. So he's talking about this chain is as small as a hair. He says, we understand a God so good. And with these golden chains, these fine lines wrap us around God, bind us to God's love. Our love is binded to God's love. Volume 3, 3-9-1900. My sweet Jesus was extremely afflicted and did as much as he could I did as much as I could to console him, praying to Jesus, pouring his bitterness into me. Okay, so here it's Christ crucified again. I see how afflicted he is on the cross. What do? To console him, I pray him, pour your bitterness into me. Come down from the cross just for a moment and let me take your place just for a moment. That's what the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional illnesses that we're going through, the sicknesses that we're going through, we're saying to Jesus, you're so afflicted. You are the one that's hurt. Lord, I pour your bitterness into me. Okay, let me take your place on the cross just for a moment. And he added, bear with me if I am, he uses God's name, I am a cause of affliction for you. Because once in a while, I, God, feel all the necessity with my beloved souls. I want this unity, this union with my souls, to pour out, in a word, my pain for the ingratitude of mankind, so as to move their hearts to repair for such an excess, to compassion for men themselves. So this, as we unite ourselves with Christ crucified, that's what Our Lady did. She was at the cross watching her son die, having her heart split in two. This was a compassion for mankind. And Louisa says, Lord, what I would like is that you do not spare me from sharing your pains. So she says to Jesus, I not only want to compassionate you, but I want you to share with me your suffering. This is very heroic. It's very heroic. When I get a sliver, I've got a couple slivers in my hand right now from working with thorn bushes out there. It's painful. I complain. Here's Louisa. He says, what I would like is that you do not spare me from sharing in your pains, in your sufferings. All of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. What do we do with our sufferings? Do we say, Lord, I want to soothe you with what I'm going through? Do I want to soothe you because you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, and I want to be one with you? See, we don't have to pray for suffering. We have suffering. What do we do with it? Do we drag our cross behind us complaining? Oh, I've got a sliver. Or do we say, Lord, I offer this up for you. You went through great suffering. I'm going through nothing compared to you. Volume 4, 10-2-1900. Your position of victim and your continuous waiting for me already break my arms. In fact, you do not see me, but I see you very well, and I count all your sighs, all your pains, all your desires for me. Tomorrow, on the Feast of Divine Mercy, we're going to go through what Jesus tells Louisa. What Jesus tells Louisa is how to begin to enter into this abundant life of victimhood. See, the victimhood, this is the victimhood of the divine will is this. All your worry, all your fear, all your anxiety, all your complaints, all your negativity, all your sin is gone. I am not going to give life to this anymore. The victimhood is to enter into the peace and the joy and the happiness of heaven. So the victimhood that God is calling us to is not to give life to our misery anymore. Not to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. That's got to stop. That's got to be gone. Why? So that we can begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. That's heaven. So that's why Jesus said to Louisa, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, those that are sinning, are anticipating hell. Those are the words to Jesus. Those are the words to us. He says, those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. So Jesus says, what do you want? How do you want to live? If you're expecting heaven by being miserable, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory. Because St. Thomas Aquinas says, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. I don't want to go there. Jesus says, begin to live my life now. Follow my holy humanity now. Begin to live the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, so that you, when you die, remember what I said, those that die, the majority go to purgatory. Many go to hell. Jesus says, few. Our Lady says, few go to heaven immediately after death. You've got to be perfect. So that's what Jesus is saying. He says, she says, I would like to be like you. Don't spare for me your sharing in your pains. So Jesus says, okay, good. How are you living? What are you doing with your work? What are you doing with your physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering? Are you complaining? Are you being negative? He says, stop it. Begin to be thanking God. Thank God for everything, even your suffering. Thank you, Jesus, that I can share with you a fraction, a little bit of what you and your mother went through. Volume 4, 10-2-1900. The position victim continuously waiting for me already break my arms. I mean, Jesus says each and every one of us is called to this victimhood of not giving life to our human misery. In fact, you do not see me. That's where we are. But I see you very, very well. I count all your sighs for me. I count all your pains for me. I count all your desires for me. And your remaining all intent on me is always an act of reparation for many souls who do not bother about me, nor desire me, but despise me. I mean, how many times do you hear people cursing, abusing the name of the Lord? Despise me in all intent on earthly things, covered with mud amid the stench of vices, so being complete opposite of theirs, your state always comes to break justice. So much so that keeping you in this state of victimhood and beginning the bloody wars in Italy is almost impossible for me. So he says, the world has to be purified. The church has to be purified. This is what the wars are about. This is what the suffering's about. This purification is to prepare the world for the kingdom of God that's coming on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 4, 10:22, 1900. My daughter, all of my divine attributes are continuous attitude for men. All of them demand their tribute. Okay, so the divine attributes of God are coming to mankind. For us, we're going to enter into this a new beginning to go back to where Adam was before the fall. He says, all of them, the divine attributes, demand their tribute. We are going to participate in this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Then he added, just as justice wants satisfaction, what is unjust, so does my divine love want venting of divine loving and being loved. So Jesus is going to show us how he and the Blessed Mother can love in our loving. It's not going to be a human anymore. We're going to surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls to become victims of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what we want. You place yourself inside divine justice, pray, repair, and then you receive some blow. Have patience to bear it. All of us are suffering, like I've said before. What do we do with that suffering? Do we place ourselves inside justice to repair? And when we receive some difficulty, do we have patience to bear it? Or are we complaining and negative? Then move into my divine love. Give me, Jesus says, the vent of divine loving. Let me love in your loving, Jesus says. Let my mother love in your loving. Otherwise, I would remain defrauded in love. So he's saying, this is why I created you. This is why the new Adam and the new Eve came to earth, to bring about this divine love. This is why I create. Don't defraud me of what I, God, want. I want you to love with my divine loving. That's volume 1 through volume 10, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And I know so many people say, I don't need to read volume 1 through volume 10. I know that. No, you don't. You haven't even begun to learn what it is, what's it, it's all about. It's to die to your ego and your will so that the life of Jesus and Mary begins. And then once that's there, then you can go to volume 11 and volume 19 to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Spirit. And then you can go to volume 20 through volume 36 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is planned by God. This is why he calls the book of heaven. Volume 4, 11 to 1900. The one who dwells in me does nothing other than swim in this infinite ocean of all divine contentments. Then while going outside of me, even if the soul did not meddle in anything, at the mere sight of the offenses that souls give me, of how they grieve me, the soul who wants to live in the divine will already comes to participate in those afflictions of Jesus, the afflictions of Mary, and remain troubled. Therefore, every now and then, forget everything. See, this is what we do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We forget everything. We're in the presence of God. We see God. Enter into me. Leave this a particle of humanity and enter into Jesus. Enter into Mary. Participate in the divine love of Jesus and Mary. Come to enjoy my divine peace, my divine happiness. That's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Then go out and do for me the office of my repairer. As you participate in this divine love, don't limit God. Don't say, well, this isn't going to happen to me. No, it can't happen to you because you don't want it. You don't believe it. Jesus says, enter into this. Enter into my life. Enter into my mother's life. Then as you leave participating in this divine love, you can have this office of repairer, redoer, and the divine will. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So therefore, you're not pointing to people, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. You're saying, Lord, I'm sorry what's happening to you. Thank you for showing this to me. I want to repair this. I want to redo this. The face of the earth is being transformed. How? Through the little children, the holy divine will. Volume 4, 1, 5, 1901. He transported me outside of myself, and blessed Jesus gave me a kiss. Here is the father giving his little daughter, his little baby, this kiss. And as he was doing this, a bitter breath came out, and he, Jesus, was in the act of wanting to pour his bitterness. But he did not do it because he wanted me to tell him to do it. So again, this is another stage of sanctity. Jesus says, do you want to be with me crucified? Do you want this? So he says, I want to give you this, but I have to hear you say I want it. So when we look at our life, the last thing we want is suffering. The last thing we want is pain. You know, we don't want pain. We don't want suffering. I mean, let's look at all the commercials. Take this aspirin, take this pill, take this, take that. You don't have to go through this. Even divine mercy killing in most of the places that where people are dying. Oh, we got to give them their last shot so that they don't suffer. My mother said to my sister, don't let me go to a nursing home. Don't let me go to the hospital. They won't let me suffer. They will morphine me to death as they did with my mother. Who thinks like that? So Jesus is showing us, he wants us to not suffer because of suffering, but to suffer to take his place, to suffer to take his mother's place, just for an instant. This is what Jesus is saying. As he was doing this, his bitter breath came out, and he wanted the act of wanting to pour his bitterness into Louisa. But he did not do it. Why? Because he wanted me to tell him to do it. And immediately, this is Louisa. Do you want some reparation? Let us do it together. See, that's the great thing about this gift. It's, you got to get rid of the word I, me, and mine. This is mine. This is me. This is when you use I, me, and mine, the only time you should use the word I is when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. And I don't want to live like this. But other than that, it should always be, Jesus, what are we going to do today? Blessed Mother, what do we want today? You have to enter into this oneness with the new Adam and with the new Eve. Jesus, let's have some lunch today. What would you like? You're never alone again. And that's what he's saying. She's together. Let us do this together. This is my way of reparations. United to yours shall have the effects of yours, Jesus. And if I do them on my own, I believe I shall disgust you more. Never do anything alone anymore. Never use I anymore. Me, me, me. No, it's got to be gone. It's Jesus. What do we want to do together? Let's brush our teeth together. Let's dance, Lord. Let's sing, Lord. Let's. It's never alone. Never with yourself anymore. It's with Jesus. He's your spouse. Your king. He says, so I took his hand, dripping with blood, and kissing his hand, I recited the Our Father, the glory be, and Jesus in one part, and the I in the other, to repair for the many evil works that are committed, placing the intention of praising him as many times for many offenses he has received because of evil works. See, everything has to be repaired. Even all the sacraments have to be repaired. How many times have people gone to confession just out of routine? No sorrow. I got to go to confession. No real sorrow. Or receiving Jesus of the Eucharist. No real love. It becomes a habit. These all have to be repaired. He says, because a lot of it was evil, done evilly. How moving it was to see Jesus praying in me, in, with, through, and for me. And then I continue to do to continue to do the same on to the other hand, placing the intentions of praising him, glorifying him, worshiping him as many times for as many offenses as Jesus received because of the sins of causes. Then his feet with the intention of praising him. See, that's one of the things Jesus says to Louisa. He says, if you venerate the cross, and this is what we did on Good Friday, when you kiss the cross, he says, I will accept it as you actually kissing me. I mean, think about that. When we venerate the cross, when the priest kisses the altar, venerating the altar, he says, I will take that as you're actually kissing me. You know, when you bless yourself, I mean, how many times is, did you have a fly around you? It's like, bless yourself. Lord, Father, bless me. Jesus, bless me. Holy Spirit, bless me. Cover me with your blessing. Cover me with your precious blood. Cover me, Holy Spirit. Father, I surrender to you. It's when you genuflect, you just bounce off your knee. Boy, that was fun. No, you're my King. You're my Savior. You're my Master. What are we doing? Do we recognize Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? When we go in to spend an hour with him, is it just to read? Or is it to fall in love with him? I mean, that's what Jesus is asking. Then his feet, with the intention of praising him, many times as many evil steps and as many wrong paths that are trodden, even under the appearance of piety and sanctity. Lastly, in his Sacred Heart, with the intention of praising him for as many times as the human heart does not palpitate. You begin every morning, may every thought, every word, every deed, every breath, every heartbeat to love you, to praise you, to glorify you. You one with me one with you. That does not love, does not desire God. My beloved Jesus seemed all refreshed by these reparations done together with him, but not yet content. And it seemed that he wanted to pour his sufferings on us. Are you willing to be with him? The apostles abandoned him. John was there, but he was holding up the Blessed Mother. Jesus is saying, would you be with me at Calvary? There's no time or space in the divine will. The gift that God gives to the little children of the Holy Divine Will is to bilocate, but it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's to let Jesus take you where he wants to take you. Does he want to take you to Bethlehem today? Does he want to take you to Cana? Does he want to take you to the Sea of Galilee? If you let God take you where he wants, this is the gift of the divine will. It's him. Not what we want, but what he wants. Volume 4, 1901. My daughter, when you suffer my own thorns, you relieve me. And in suffering them yourself, I, God, feel completely free of those pains. Achy knees, achy back, sharp pains. Jesus is saying, here's a little something for you. Would you comfort me? I'm the one that's suffering. Would you comfort me? When you humble yourself and believe yourself unworthy of suffering them, you repair for the sins of pride that are committed in the world. Lord, I mean, oh no, here's another pain. No, it's Lord, thank you. Thank you that you would allow me to take some of your suffering. Thank you. I'm not worthy. He says very, very clearly. Louisa says, ah, Lord, for the many drops you shed, for the many thorns you suffered us, for many wounds, so much glory do I, Louisa, intend to give you for as much glory as all the creatures should give you if the sin of pride did not exist. And the so many graces do I intend to ask you for all creatures, past, present, and future, so that sin may be destroyed. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. The end of sin is coming. Why? The evil one is going to be gone. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, he's been banished from heaven. He will banish from earth so that sin be destroyed. You see what's coming? This is not ordinary time. This is extraordinary time. While saying this, I saw Jesus contain the whole world within himself, and like a machine containing objects inside, he says, I, all creatures, moved within Jesus, and Jesus moved towards all creatures. And it seemed that Jesus would receive the glory of my intention, and that creatures had returned back to God. That's the divine will. In order to receive the good impetrated by me, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa for mankind, for all of mankind. And Louisa says, I remained stupefied. And Jesus, seeing me, my stupefaction, said, all this seems surprising, doesn't it? What you have done seems a trivial thing. It's a desire. Yet this is not so. How much good could be done by repeating this intention? But this intention is not repeated yet because it's not yet known. Jesus is saying, if you do this with Louisa, watch what will happen to the face of the earth. Why do you think we are alive at this time? Jesus says, this is the mission of missions. This is the apostle of apostolates. All this is the greatest thing that man can do, be one with God to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he gave to Louisa. That's what the book of heaven is all about, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And here, this is volume 4, he's explaining to us how to begin to live like a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 4, 327, 1902. You must be not only upright, but just. So here he's saying, you can't only be good and holy and saintly. He says, not only that, you've got to be just. So into divine justice enters loving me. Divine justice praises me. Divine justice glorifies me. Divine justice thanks me. Divine justice blesses me. Divine justice repairing me. Divine justice adoring me, not only for oneself, but for all of mankind. These are divine rights of divine justice that I, God, demand from creatures, from each creature. He's explaining to us very clearly what he wants. And that are due to me as creator, and one who denies to me even one of these rights can never be called just. Therefore, think about fulfilling your duty of divine justice. What? For the divine justice, you shall find the beginning, you shall find the means, and you shall find the end of divine sanctity, not just human sanctity. Do you see what God is calling us to? He's saying, I want more from my creatures. I want to bring you back to where you were before the fall of Adam, image and likeness of God. Volume 4, 8-2, 1902. I found myself inside of Jesus Christ. That's where we belong. Who can say how many things I comprehended inside the most holy humanity of Jesus? I can only say that his divinity directed his holy humanity in everything. His divinity directed his holy humanity in everything. And since one single instant of the divinity can do as many acts as each of us can do in the whole period of one's life, and as many acts as one wants to do, I, with Jesus, comprehended with clarity that because the divinity operated in the holy humanity of Jesus Christ during the course of his life, blessed Jesus redid for all mankind in general and for each one individually everything that each one of us was obliged to do toward God in such a way that Jesus adored for God for each soul in particular. Jesus thanked, Jesus repaired, Jesus glorified each soul. Jesus prayed, Jesus suffered, Jesus prayed for each soul individually. He took our place. He's repaired and redone everything. And I, with Jesus, comprehended that everything that each soul must do has already been done before the heart of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus Christ himself. Everything's done. Everything's completed. And now Jesus is saying, get ready for more. See, this is eternity that we're entering into. One with God, fused with God in his most holy divine will. Volume 5, 6:15, 1903. My daughter, the soul who makes use of her senses to offend me deforms my image within herself. Therefore, sin gives death to the soul. Not because she really dies, but because it gives death to everything that is divine. We are to live a divine life. That's why when the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Saint Peter says this very clearly. We are called to be divinized. We were created to be divinized. That doesn't mean we become gods, but we are in God's image and likeness that he wanted from the beginning. If then the soul uses her senses to glorify me, I, God, can say, you are my eyes, you are my hearing, you are my mouth, you are my hands, you are my feet. By this, the soul preserves my creative work within herself. And if to her glorifying me, she adds suffering, satisfying and repairing for other souls who are far from God, she preserves within herself my redemptive work. That means we co-redeem with Christ. As the Blessed Mother did, with Jesus, one with Jesus, not to be separated. Volume 5, 10:303. I was thinking about the hour of the Passion in which Jesus took leave of his mother to go to his death, and then they blessed each other. And I was offering this hour to repair for those souls who do not bless the Lord in everything. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sacred Scripture. Rather, they offend him in order to infiltrate all those blessings that are necessary for us to preserve ourselves in the grace of God and to fill the void of the glory of God as if all creatures were blessing him. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Volume 5, 10:7, 1903. The victim souls are human angels. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to say to Jesus, then for 33 days, we're going to pray the prayer that we pray tomorrow on the Feast of Divine Mercy. Why? 33 days later is the Ascension, where Jesus says to Louisa, this is the day you make your vow. What's the vow? It's to say, I want to totally and completely not only make a consecration, but to have ascend to heaven with you, take my human will with you to heaven, that I never live it again. That my human will is at the footstool of God, never to be seen again. Why? So that the kingdom can be established in me on earth as it is in heaven. See, this is what Jesus is looking for. The victim soul. This is why it's important to become a victim soul. Are human angels who must repair, this is our job, must impetrate, must protect humanity. And whether they obtain or not to obtain, they must not cease their work unless they were assured about it from on high. Unless heaven says, don't do it. Right now, heaven is saying, this is what I want. This is why we are alive today. To enter into this abundant life of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Volume 6, 1903. The soul becomes all through suffering. Suffering makes the soul become pontiff, priest, king, prince, minister, judge, advocate, repairer, protector, defender. And since true suffering is the suffering wanted by God, that's our life. All of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He says, the soul appeases herself completely in his divine will, and this appeasement united to suffering, that's our life, we're not adding anything more, allows the soul to rule over divine justice, over divine mercy of God, over men and all things. Tomorrow's the divine mercy of God. This is what's coming. You have to understand, this is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 6, 2:7, 1904. My daughter, what shall happen if the music ceases in the world? And Louisa says, Lord, what music should cease? And listen to what Jesus says. He added, my beloved, your music, your heartbeat, your breath. It's Jesus beating in our heart beating. That's divine music. It's Jesus breathing in our breathing. That's divine music. It's Jesus walking in our walking. That's divine music. It's Jesus singing in our singing. It's divine music. It's the peace and the joy and happiness of God. He says, say, where are we? Seven. Okay. He says, thanks continually this continuous move music to my hearing. It takes me away from hearing the iniquities of the earth and therefore from chastising that is appropriate to the earth. Not only this, but it is music in the human minds. See, we're singing to God, praising God, loving God, and diverts them from doing worse things. What do? The only thing we're good at is sinning. That's what we're good at. And Jesus says, come into my divine will. Will you be free of this? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Come into my will. And that's what God is calling us to. He says, the music in the human minds diverts them from doing worse things. Volume 6, 4, 10, 1904. My daughter, know that you have three titles before me. And they are like three little ropes that bind me, God, over all over. Clasp me, God, more intimately with you in such a way that I, God, cannot leave you. And these are assiduousness, suffering, and perpetual reparation, preserving love. If you as a creature are constant in this, shall the creator perhaps be inferior to the creature? Or shall God let himself be surpassed by her? This is impossible. He is gratuitous. He's always giving. And when we receive, he says, I got to give you more. And when we receive more, he says, I've got to give you more. We can't outdo God in generosity. Volume 6, 8, 10, 1904. Prisoner of love, you are here abandoned and alone. This is Jesus in the tabernacle. And I have come to keep you company. And while keeping you company, I intend to love you for all those souls who offend you, and to praise you for all those souls who despise you, to thank you for all those souls in whom you pour graces but do not render you the tribute, the divine tribute of thanksgiving. Console you for all those souls who afflict you and repair for any offenses against you. In a word, I, Jesus, intend to do for you all that mankind is obliged to do for you. This is what you do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. For having remained in the most holy sacrament on the altar. Again, it's repairing and redoing. Volume 6, 11/29/1904. This morning I was offering all the actions of the holy humanity of Jesus to repair for so many of our human actions. So it's Jesus in us that's doing it. Either carelessly done or without supernatural purpose or sinfully done in order to infiltrate that all creatures might do their actions with the intention of the actions of Jesus in us and in union with Jesus in us to fill the void of the glory that all mankind should give God as if all mankind did so. Do you see? It's repairing and redoing. Volume 6, 9, 6, 1905. This morning after I struggled very much, I saw our Lord crucified. Again, we have to look at Christ crucified. I was kissing the wounds of his hands and repairing that he would sanctify, perfect, purify all human works of mankind for the sake of what Jesus had suffered in his most holy hands. So he's showing us what he would like us to do, to kiss his hands on the cross, to kiss his feet on the cross. Why? To repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, as if all mankind was doing this. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.